Scripture reading this evening is found in the Psalm 100. The Psalm 100. This is the word of the Lord. Come, let us hear the word of Almighty God. A psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord grant his own blessing upon that public reading and then the preaching of his most holy, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word. May he do so to the glory of his name and to the everlasting good of our never dying souls. Congregation, turning your prayerful attention once again to the words which I read to you in your hearing as we read the Psalm 100. May the Lord be pleased to graciously enable me to minister his word to the glory of his name and to the everlasting profit and benefit of your and my never dying souls. I take for my text this evening the verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. The Psalm 100 and the verse 4. You'll notice in this psalm, as we begin the psalm, it is a psalm entitled there, A Psalm of Praise. But if you notice in the margin of your Bibles, of your TBS Bibles, it says, or thanks. And this is why the verse 4 tells people to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. But you'll notice that this psalm is a psalm to all lands, to all people. It is a command to everyone. Notice, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Now, as we think of this theme, which is given to us in the verse 4, the theme is that of thanksgiving of the creature. That is, every creature before God, everyone, is to have thanks and praise to God. God not only commands the believer, but all the world to give him praise and thanks. And what we have really, I suppose, in the verse 4 is not only a verse that commands us to give thanks to God, but because it sets forth the thankfulness that men and women and boys and girls ought to have, what we have is a verse that acts as a sort of a thermometer as to whether we know God at all. Is there thanks in your heart? As you came here tonight and as we gathered, did you come with a spirit of thanksgiving and praise to God? The presence of thankfulness in our hearts, or the lack of it, acts as a sort of scanner to the soul, a sort of a barometer. And the issue is this tonight: do you in your life have thankfulness to God? Do you wake up every morning giving thanks to God? Do you thank him through the course of the day? When you end the day, do you thank him? How do you begin? And how do you end your days here on earth? Do you have thankfulness to God? You see, whether we are thankful to God or not, it reveals so much about us. In fact, it reveals everything about you. It reveals everything about me. Thankfulness. Now, Somebody might have come here tonight and thought, well, as the preacher announced his text and as we open up Psalm 100, which so often we begin our services with, and as I announce the theme, thankfulness, you may have thought in your mind, is that what we've come to hear? Is this all that the preacher has for us tonight? Thankfulness to God? I want to hear something more substantive. I want to hear something far more. Thankfulness to God. Unthankfulness? Well, surely that's a small sin, you might be thinking. That's a small thing. No, friends, it's not. It's not a small thing at all. It is a very, very big thing. The one that has salvation thanks God. Always. The psalmist in Psalm 92, the verse 1 says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing because for the believer, he is reminded as he begins to give thanks all that God has done for him. Firstly, in salvation, and God not sending that soul to hell. He thanks God for saving him. He thanks God for the mercies which are new every morning to him, that God has not treated him or her according to their just deserts. Thankfulness is a very, very important matter. And maybe you think unthankfulness is not such a great sin. Maybe you think lying or cheating or stealing, those are serious things, and they are. But I tell you, unthankfulness is not just neglect. It's not just oversight of the mind, not according to the Word of God. What it is, according to God's Word, it is a very serious matter that concerns your state of heart. As I said, it's like a barometer on the heart. So many think that this is beneath them, to think about thankfulness. But you know, thankfulness to God should be, for everybody in the world, the most natural thing that comes to people. And I want to open up that thought here tonight. It should be the most natural thing. Well, why? Well, first of all, you owe him everything. The fact that you are living and breathing, and the fact that you are not cast into hell now, that you're alive, that you're a human being, that you're able to hear the gospel, which so many will never hear. Your life, you didn't bring yourself into existence, but God has planned and ordained your existence. I want you to notice again at the opening of the psalm, the title there, a psalm of praise, a psalm of thanksgiving in the margin. And then we read, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, that's everybody. Serve the Lord, verse 2, with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Now notice the verse 3. It's exactly what I just said. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us. There you see, he's made us. We didn't come into existence by ourselves. God has created the heavens, the earth, the galaxies, the cosmos. He is the creator of all these things, and we are his creatures. We owe our very existence to God. We owe our moments and our days. We owe him everything. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us. We owe him everything. He has given you a body. Thank God you have a body, you have a mind, you have a soul. And written upon that soul are his commandments, his laws. You know right from wrong. Thank the Lord, you know that. You're not like a monkey or a horse or a snail. These animals that do things by instinct. A dog, a horse, an elephant. These creatures do everything by instinct. And because of the fall, it's done by a fallen instinct. And they are subject to futility because of Adam's fall. We read that in Romans 8. All of creation is subject to futility because of that fall. But we are made in His image. You have a brain. You have brain cells. Who gave you those brain cells? Who gave you those eyes to see? Who gave you an aptitude? God has given you these things. Friend, do you not feel the privilege of life itself? Just to breathe, to walk out, and to breathe fresh air, and to smell the smell of fresh bread, and to taste a ripe peach on a warm summer's day. All these are the gifts of God, and one day these will be taken away. They'll all be gone one day. Do we thank God for what we have? Do you thank God that you can hear the gospel here tonight, and you can hear about the Savior, and that He hasn't sent you to hell? Oh, dear friends, showing our gratitude to God should be the most natural thing. But you know what? In fallen man, it's the most unnatural thing. The carnal mind, says God, is enmity with God. It's a clenched fist in the face of God. That's how we're born, with our fists, as it were, up to the sky, rejecting God all of our lives, unthankful, unholy. And the fact that we don't wake up every day, if this is your case, and thank God for every day and for everything that He's given you, reveals something very concerning about your soul. And now I don't want to run anybody down tonight. I don't want to belittle anybody, but I want to help you. I want to help you to see that there is a desperate problem. And I want you to see that if we do not honor God, and if we do not reverence Him, and if we do not give thanks to Him, pride is in the heart. Pride. This is why this subject is so important, because it concerns our souls. If we are not thankful to God, we are denying Him His rightful honor and glory and praise. Praise belongeth to Him. Praise belongs to God. This subject is so vitally important, yet you know people are so offended by it. They, as I said earlier, they consider it beneath them. Just stop for a moment and think how insignificant we are. God says in His Word that we came from dust. Fitting, isn't it? It's appropriate. That's all we are. We're dust. And vile at that. But out of the dust, God made man. He breathed, as it were, into his soul. He gave him life, created in the image of God, made in His likeness. But pride has swelled up in every human soul. And man, you see, what is he before God? Let's think of God's creation. The Psalm 8 tells us in the verse 3, the psalmist says, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" And then here, speaking of Christ, "Thou hast made him," he who is the son of man, he who is God, who became the son of man for us, that he might save us. "Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor." Oh, dear friends, you see, what is man? God has created the starry universe. He has created the heavens and the earth. They are the handiwork of his fingers. God has ordained all these things. But what is man that has rebelled against God, that God is mindful of him, and that God should send his son, and that the Father should make him a little lower than the angels? That the Father should decree with the Son and the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ would come into this world and live the life that we have failed to live, and then die that awful death on the cross. Not only the pain of the nails and the sword that pierced his side and the thorns that were pressed upon his brow and the spitting and the mocking and the bruising and the buffeting, but then to have the undiluted wrath of God poured out upon his Son. What is man that thou art mindful of him? What are we? Are we thankful for God sending his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world? My friends, have we thought of the loftiness of God? Have we thought of the majesty? Have we thought of the holiness of God? Have we thought of him? And have we thought of the unspeakable love of God the Father in sending Christ for such worms? Have we? Do we wake up every morning giving thanks to God for that? I tell you, it says a whole lot about your heart and my heart. When it comes time to giving thanks for our food, how do we say it? Do we mean it? Do we mean it when we give thanks, or do we give thanks like it's hard work? It should never be hard work. The easiest thing to do in the world is to give thanks to God. Is it not the easiest thing to do? When God asks us to give thanks to him, is it hard? It's hard for so many people because there's this issue of pride in the heart. This is what is in the heart. Because man has to, you see, when he begins to give thanks, it humbles, doesn't it? We've got to admit, these things are from God. I'm now obligated to God. The food is on his table. It's from God. He has given him the strength to go out and work and to provide these things for his family. And he has to give thanks to God. You see, it changes his course. It changes his direction. And he has to give so thanks, and he should give it meaningfully and with a heart. It humbles, doesn't it? You see, we've got to admit, at that point, we are totally dependent upon God for everything. Everything in our lives. Thankfulness to God, who is so patient with sinners every day. Now, you may not be saved, but you've been hearing the gospel over and over. Think of the forbearance of God. Are you not thankful for that at least? You and I, who are unclean. Job says, what is man that he should be clean, and that he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Behold, he putteth his trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water. What are we? Are we thankful to God for not sending us to hell yet, if we have not believed on his Son? But you know, as we were singing this morning from the Psalm 19, man is not without excuse. You see, people say, thankful to God, but I don't know God exists. Well, that's a lie. Men know it. The Psalm 19, the heavens and the earth declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Every man, every creature knows that there is a God. And Paul tells us in Romans 1 that therefore man is without excuse. He says, for the invisible things of him, that is God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So says the word of God, they are without excuse. Everybody knows that there's a creator, because his invisible attributes, God's invisible attributes, his power and his wisdom are displayed, are made manifest in the things that are created. Look at the complexity of a flower, the complexity of a human cell, and tell me there's no God. God says, you're without excuse. But instead, man, we read because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. This is the problem with the human heart. Unthankfulness. And this verse 4 says, everyone, the verse 1, all ye lands, praise God. You know he is. You know he created all things. You know he has made all things. Praise him for your very existence and the fact that he has not sent you to hell yet. Are you thankful? Are you thankful that you're breathing tonight? I tell you, atheism is no joke. It's the greatest evil. It is the greatest evil in which a man tries to explain away the vast evidence of an almighty God creating and ordering a very complex universe. When men say these things came about by mere chance, my dear friends, it is an evil to deny God. God says man is without excuse. But you know, the atheist has got a very hard job. It's an uphill battle all of his life. And he's going to wake up one day in the very presence of the God that he has denied. It's an uphill battle. But there's nothing easier than to live a life of thankfulness. Because that is God's due. That is God's due. You think about it. Now he has said that the world will be, so long as there's summer, springtime and harvest, the world will be and he will provide. And he sustains everything and keeps it in its orbit. And we are to thank him for the most simple things, because everything is a gift from God. And you see the fact, if we do not give thanks, it displays, it demonstrates a big problem with your heart. Fundamentally, that you are denying God. Again, thankfulness is the easiest thing to do. Because actually, you're not asked to do anything. God is not asking you to go on some great feat. But all he is asking is acknowledgement and praise for who he is. That's at the heart of it, isn't it? You're not expected to work for something, just to have a grateful heart. But you know, on the one hand, having said that, there is something to give up. What is it? Pride. That's what you have to give up. You have to give up pride. It's at the heart. It's too much for the proud, sinful heart. Pride's there, at least until we're converted. But you know what? If you turn with me to 2 Timothy 3:1, it's very common in the last days that this of man, unthankfulness, 2 Timothy 3, the verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Now notice, unthankful, unholy. Unthankful. As the very last day approaches, as eternity approaches, as the Son of Man comes, as the day of our Lord Jesus Christ now draws near, to his second coming, to that final judgment, there will be increasingly an atheistic and especially unthankful world. That's the mark of Christ's second coming. Now the question is, are you unthankful? As I said, when you walked in this evening, were you praising God? Were you thanking God? You praise him every day. You praise him when you come here. You see, this says a whole lot about you, doesn't it? It says a whole lot about me. Now notice here, as we look at this text, the first reason that Paul says concerning these people, he says, lovers of their own selves. That's the problem, isn't it? And you see, the thing is, if you love yourself, what is there there? There's pride. Pride is a form of self-worship. Lover of myself. You see, if you begin to thank God, it takes the attention off yourself, doesn't it? You say, I won't think about God. It's me that's important. It's I. my life, my hobbies, everything else. And if I start to think about God, I'm going to have to live for Him. I'm going to have to start to honor Him. I'm going to have to start to acknowledge Him in my life. But I don't want that. I want to serve myself. I want to honor myself. You see, pride saps away thankfulness to God. That's what it does. It saps away a life dedicated to God. I used to think like this. Oh, see the Christians, look. Their whole life is devoted to God. I don't want to do that. It's my time. I want my time. I want my hobbies. God's not going to tell me how to run my life. You see, that's what it implies, doesn't it? But what is at the heart of it? At the heart of it, it's pride. Now, you may not admit it. You may not say it with your mouth, but your life says it, friend. You may not be admitting it tonight that you have no praise for God. But you see, your life will say it. I don't give God His due honor. I get on with my life. It's all about me. Why should I give my life to God? And the question is, friend, how much time do you give to God? That's a good question to ask. You see, because that determines, it tells you, are you saved? Are you His? Do you acknowledge Him? Do you acknowledge Him? Do you acknowledge His existence? I say, the minute people, when it dawns on him that they owe Him, they begin to realize they have an obligation to God. Are you at that crisis of your life? It's a terrible crisis. And you'll never free yourself from that. You'll never free yourself from that. You can't get rid of those chains. God has to break them. You have to cry to God to break your heart over them. Whatever you put before God, those idols, you have to pray that He will help me to tear, as we sing in that hymn. The dearest idol that I've known, help me to tear it from my throne. God's throne should be our hearts, where He is enthroned. Let me give you some very practical advice, pastoral advice. Begin to thank God in your life. You may not be saved, but begin by realizing He could have dealt with you, sent you away. You may not have heard this sermon tonight. May never have heard this sermon, were it not of Him. Were it not of His kindness. And thank Him for that. Begin there. And ask Him to begin that work in your heart to have mercy on you, that you might give Him the honor that is due to His name. You see, the Christian life is one of complete worship to God. Worship is not something we just do when we come in here. And you can tell, I mean, you can't tell everything about people, but you can tell very often by the look on people's faces when they walk in that they're happy to be here. They live for this God, and they're only too delighted to come here and to worship God and to talk about God and to learn more about Him. That's the Christian life. That's the new birth. And it begins with thankfulness that He has spared us. There's another thing, pride doesn't like. It doesn't like dependence on God. It hates it. It hates being ashamed. It hates admitting that it's been wrong all of these years. It hates being seen as dependent. Oh, if you're a Christian, you're just a weak person. Being a Christian, surely that's, you just use God as a crutch. You only need Him when times are low. No, that's not being a Christian. Being a Christian is being thankful to God for His dear Son. Remember how Paul begins. What do you make of what Paul says when he says, "Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift"? Do you know the gift that Paul was speaking about was God's dear Son? That is the unspeakable gift that Paul praised God for. You see, at the heart of man is pride. I don't want to admit that I owe God anything. The debt of sin. I don't have so many sins. If I have them, they're just small. You see, the cross empties us of all pride because it says, that's what I deserve. That is what I deserve. Pride determines how you behave. Pride is unthankful. Just turn with me for a moment, if you will, to Luke 17. Luke 17. Here we have this account of the Lord Jesus Christ and the healing of the 10 lepers. Luke 17, the verse 11, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices. That's all of them. And he saw them and said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. You see, this man, unlike the others, had faith. He was grateful. Here is a converted heart. People that have faith have been converted. Let me tell you this. You do not have faith unless you're converted. And here is a picture of what I'm saying. Here is a converted soul who gives thanks to God. Now, we read that they all cried out. Did they not? All 10 cried out. What did they cry? Master, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And you notice the word mercy? But they all received the mercy, didn't they? Their health was restored. Now, if the 9 that never gave thanks to the Lord Jesus for the mercy, there's a problem, isn't there? What's the problem? Pride. If they really believed it was mercy, why didn't they give thanks? That's the human heart for you, friend. That's the sinful, unconverted heart. They all cried out, have mercy on us. All healed, but only the one that had faith who was converted. And I say, you cannot have faith without conversion. Gave thanks and glorified God. How strange the human heart is. This is how most people think. We deserve it. That's the problem, you see. People think they deserve better than they get in life. We deserve better. And even if God blesses them, God who causes his sun to shine on the just and the unjust and his rain on both as well, even if he gives them, how unthankful man is. This is the attitude of the human heart. He is unthankful. And any good he gets in life, he thinks he deserves it. I tell you, if they just realized what they actually deserved was God's wrath coming down. And that's what you and I deserve. We deserve his wrath. How strange it is. Some people only call out to God and pray. I was guilty of this, friends. Oh God, I'm in a terrible situation. I'm in a fix. Please. Then he comes, takes you out of that situation. And we forget about God. We're like the 9 lepers. We've turned, we've gone our way, forgotten about God. That's the heart of the ungodly. That's the heart of the unbeliever. But the heart of the believer gives thanks to God daily because he realizes that every benefit, everything that he gets in life is a mercy. Because he or she realizes they deserve to be somewhere else. And it is outside of the presence of God forever and forever. And thus they give thanks to God that they have not been treated according to their just deserts. You see, We are the sinners. God has had mercy on us in Jesus Christ. And therefore, we give thanks. God owes us nothing, friends, but his wrath. That is what he owes us. That is what he owes you, his wrath. Oh, if you are slighting God, think on it. Isn't it a wonder that he has not ended your life as a creature and sent you to hell now? Somebody says, oh, but if I admit God, I admit that he is. He has authority and demands over me. Yes, he does. But you stop and you think about this. He has demands and authority over you, not only now, but into all eternity. And what a foolish thing it is to deny one who has power and authority not only over us now, but over all eternity. God has power over us now and will then. And the wrath of man, let me tell you, the Bible says, shall praise God. God will be glorified in the indignant hearts of unbelieving people. Begin to thank God. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due season. Don't let pride rule over you, because that's what's ruling in the heart. You realize there's something ruling in the heart. What is it? It's pride. Pride is a terrible thing. Pride cast our parents, our first parents, outside the very presence of God. Some people might say, well, yeah, I do believe God, but the God I believe in is very distant and he's impersonal and he's not too bothered about sin, not like your God. You see, men will either deny God or the real God. They make their own gods. Unthankfulness tells us a lot about our belief system. Unthankfulness, lastly, is a symptom of being self-absorbed in your life. And that is another symptom of pride. People are living, aren't they, in a very self-absorbed life. Living for themselves in this self-absorbed world. And if I give thanks to him, that means I have to start acknowledging him in my life and giving him my time. But again, I give you that sound advice. Start thanking God. It's a wonderful thing to give thanks to God. The psalmist says it is a good thing to give thanks unto God, because it's only right, and it does express your dependence on him every day and your need, your desperate need for the Lord Jesus Christ. For God to forgive sins in his Son. You may not be a Christian, but let me ask you, do you thank him for putting dear Christians around you? You may not fully understand the word of God, but you keep coming. You keep hearing it. You thank the Lord for this church and this feeble pastor that seeks to continue to preach God's word with God's help every week, and that you are in a place of truth and you're not in a place of error. This is the best place you can be, in the house of God, hearing the word of God. Do you thank him that you are not left out in that dark world to yourself, and that you're on a broad road out in the world? Well, until you're saved, you're on that broad road. But you're in a place where you will hear about the narrow road that leads to eternal life. Do you thank the Lord that he has spared you, and that some tragedy hasn't fallen on you in your life, that you haven't been run over by a bus, or that you have not died of some illness, some disease or something, and you've been killed? You've never thanked God for a day of your life. Begin by thanking him for sparing you, and thank him that there is a way. The Lord Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And thank him that you can pray to him, Lord, reveal thyself to me. Reveal my need for thee. Thank him, praise him, draw near to him honestly, sincerely. The Lord says, seek me while I may be found. Thank him that you can. Thank the Lord for those who pray for you. I mean, Christians who surrounded you now, who pray for you every day. Thank Him for that. Thank Him for sending His Son. Thank Him that He tells sinners to seek Him for mercy. And pray that you will not face another day without Him. Give thanks to God. It is His due. You know, there's nothing we can give God, absolutely nothing, that He doesn't already have. But there is one thing you can give Him, and that's thanks and praise. Are you like these 9 lepers that we read of? Health was spared, but they just went on their way. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. Even seeing the Lord Jesus there. The Word of God says in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give thanks to God. And those of us who are Christians, give thanks always for all things unto God through Jesus Christ. The Christian, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. The Lord has done this for us, dear friends. He has translated us. That is, He's taken us out of a kingdom of darkness and put us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. I couldn't do that, but God did that for me, and God is able to do that for others. Pray that God might do that for you. Seek Him. Repent of your sins and seek Him with all your heart and ask Him for mercy. And I tell you what, you will never stop thanking Him for the rest of your life, and we'll go on into eternity and we'll give Him thanks and praise forevermore. Amen.